B-Pod Studios.
You don't have to lift a finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich. Go ahead. Just tell your smart speaker to play. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Monday, January 14th. It's great to be working on a Monday. Great team win. We're on to Kansas City, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
Many men wish death upon me. Blood in my dog and I can't see. I'm trying to be what I'm destined to be. And trying to take my life away.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
I'm so disappointed. That's what we're getting out of Tom Brady's Instagram instead of the TV Times.
Well, it's time to take his life away.
Well, I mean, that's...
He is really forcing this whole narrative. I mean, when he came off the field and he was like, you know, I guess everyone thinks we suck. Who?
Max Kellerman.
Yeah.
That's good. Who thinks you suck.
Why don't you just hand him a check for $1 million?
Right, because what you have done is you've made it to people like, okay, well, apparently Max Kellerman is important enough that Tom Brady seems to be referencing his take over and over again. And if you think I'm just like, I'm blowing smoke, this is from the official Patriots Twitter account, all right? Because right now they're embracing the whole we're the underdog, which indeed they are. If you look at the Vegas spread, the underdog. Not last week, they were not.
They were a Vegas favorite last week.
They were.
And everyone was talking about how difficult it was going to be for the Chargers to travel and play at 10 a.m. their time and to deal with the weather.
They have run with this. As a matter of fact, this is a video montage that they put up, the Patriots, on their Twitter account and on their website. Take a listen.
So we were going to prepare and be ready to go, whether you pick us or you don't pick us.
I don't trust this New England Patriots team because the Chargers are better.
Well, we see it. You know, our quarterback's too old.
Quarterbacks, he is the worst.
He doesn't even look. He knows it's open.
We're not good enough on defense.
Patriots have a veteran, smart, but slow defense.
And sacked by Trey Flowers. What a game.
Edelman clearly doesn't look the same.
Julian Edelman, dazzling all day long.
He's not considered a top five quarterback in the elite. League anymore. I was right. No one wants to admit it.
You know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
And then it says still here on there. And to that I say, well, first of all, if you're going to make some sort of clip like that, make sure you include our show because a lot of people will get a big pop out of it. Yes. Kind of like Felger did when they did the Bruins one, which, by the way, this is an exact ripoff of what the Bruins did.
All right.
And second of all, you're right, Fred. They are giving such, what's the word? They're validating Max Kellerman and his opinion. But and Max Kellerman sucks.
Yeah, they're making it. If I'm Kellerman, I'm just thrilled.
I'm running with it.
And
oh, you're tripling down today.
Yeah.
And you're tripling down today.
The official Patriots account thinks that I am such a voice of football knowledge and that and such a important figure in sports media that what I say flusters Brady. So if I'm Max Kellerman, first of all, again, how do these guys make that much money being on TV at 10 in the morning? I'll never understand it for my entire life.
Because who's watching that?
Exactly. Like, when the networks are on at 10 in the morning, what do they put on?
Like reruns.
Reruns or like General Hospital, wherever the hell. They have, on one of them, they have like a Dateline. Like an old Dateline.
Right.
So...
Those are the Hoda hours.
Radio's different, and people can listen to the radio at work and in their cars. But on TV, it's not a good time to be on. I mean, like, people aren't, you know, hanging out at bars watching you. So it's a little confusing. But again, you know, everyone thinks you suck. You were Vegas favorites. And you know what? You sucked on the road. You were great at home. I mean, you were 8-0. Now you're 9-0 at home. And who's this huge, and you know what, Tom, you are old, and there's times that you have looked bad.
Well, and also.
And your defenses look like crap a lot.
He doesn't even seem to, well, I mean, some of the stuff that was in that clip there that like Stephen A. Smith was saying, and some things that have been thrown out there.
Yeah.
That's just statistics.
Right.
Like, that's just literally how you played this year.
Yeah, no one thought you were going to beat the Chargers like that. No one. And you know what? That was a big time win against a very good team. And if you make excuses for the Chargers, you're missing the point. They were out-coached. They were out. The physicality, the Patriots were in every aspect of the game, the Patriots won that. And they deserve credit for that victory. But, I mean, come on.
However, I'm glad it's happening. And I'm glad that Tom Brady, at least, feels like somebody's disrespecting him, because some players need to have that chip on their shoulder.
He's been
winning. And if it's working,
well, that was 2001.
Well, obviously,
was the rallying cry when the Patriots were at their best, 01, 03, 04. You know, and Rodney Harrison used to beat that drum, too, in 03 and 04. No one believes in us. Yeah, because you're flattening teams left and right and winning 14 games a year. We all thought it was ridiculous then, too, but they needed that.
And if you need that, as I said, just like David Ortiz, always seemed to find someone to get angry at and blame, but what happened afterwards? He was a beast, an absolute monster, and he needed that motivation. If that's what Tom Brady needs, then great. Awesome. Take it. You know what? I want you to Clockwork Orange style, sit on a chair and have your eyes pried open with 50 TVs with Max Kellerman's face on it.
Since I've been here, they've won plenty of Super Bowls without doing this. Ron, go ahead.
How you doing, guys?
What's up, Ron?
Nothing much. I kind of think that, I think that you guys are minimalizing this. I think this is kind of him saying that, everybody thinks we suck. I think this is against everybody. I mean, you guys included. You guys have given him a tough year, and don't get me wrong, he has not played well.
He had a tough year.
He had a tough year.
He did. He absolutely did, but he didn't have a lot of help, and he didn't play well, and he wasn't used to those things. So when you mix those together, you're going to get exactly what we saw today, this season, which is a very mediocre quarterback with a lot of hurt, aging players, and a slow defense.
Keep talking. He's listening to you. You're motivating him right now.
I'm trying to.
You're going to say, Ron, yeah. Ron doubted us, but no, I am. I always minimalize that. I don't think that any of that's necessary. I mean, and with David Ortiz, too, I don't think that he gets up there and his, approach at bat is any different because people are against him.
Sure.
He's a DH. He hits the ball.
Here's a good point from Joe. Let's take Joe on line three because, this is, I think, fair.
Joe, go ahead.
So, you guys just made good points, but honestly, the consensus, and it's been the consensus, nobody wants the Patriots to advance. Nobody wants the Patriots to win. Everybody's sick of it. So, honestly, he was right. He absolutely – everybody does think they suck.
Oh, everyone hates the Patriots.
Oh, sure. They want them to lose.
But,
yeah.
But we lose a game, and they did look – honestly, whatever they did the other day, if they do that, they're going to win the Super Bowl. They'll win Sunday. They'll win the Super Bowl. But they have looked like crap. I agree. But everybody – it's like the piling on effect, and everybody's loving it. So, yeah. Absolutely, he's right. Yeah, everybody does think they suck. Yep.
There's a point that's on the screen here, which I even agree more with. It's that it's not that people think that they suck or have thought that they sucked. It's that they've been writing them off, and I think it was fair to almost write them off coming into the playoffs when you saw this behemoth. Like what the Saints were able to do most of the season, and they were consistent, and you had the Chiefs who have been very consistent, even though the Patriots have beaten them, they have. But at the end of the year, you got this buildup of five really bad losses. I mean, it just compounded by what happened in Miami. And it leaves a horrible taste in your mouth. So I think that when you saw what the field was, and a lot of those teams, like the Colts, they were getting hot at just the right time. You're right. A lot of people wrote off the Patriots. What did we see?
They were favored against the Chargers. They were favored in the divisional round.
They were. But it was a pick.
For people... It wasn't a pick.
It was four.
Three's not a pick 'em.
Three is when you have home field advantage.
It's not a pick 'em.
Advantage, 3-point spreads
First of all, three. That's not necessarily true. And second of all, a 3-point spread is a 3-point spread. I mean, it is.
And you immediately get that when you have home field.
No, you don't. You don't immediately get 3 points when you're home.
I thought you did.
No, you don't.
Okay.
It's not. Right. What do you think? It's in the Constitution?
We gotta get the bankroll boys.
That's right. Thursday, we'll find out.
Get the bankroll boys on.
Is a pick'em a pick'em? Is a 3-point spread a pick'em?
A 3-point spread's not a pick'em. Okay. And they were 4-point favorites against a team that had a better record than them. Because people realize that they're very hard to beat in Gillette.
Yep.
Now, if you look at the conference title games and you look at the percentage chances of winning it, the Patriots have the lowest percentage of winning it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
aha, a rallying cry.
Right.
Well, I mean, listen, if they make
those
the Super Bowl.
Dumbass ESPN percentages are struck again.
If you get to the Super Bowl, you want to talk about a team that completely deserved it. I mean, look at all the years they went to the Super Bowl And this road might be one of the tougher ones.
Well, they're saying this might be the greatest championship weekend in the history of the game.
Well, I mean, it's 1-2 versus 1-2, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And it's the number 1 through 4 offenses. Yep.
But like Ninkovich tweeted the account and said, like, you know, if it's cold, it's very difficult to throw the ball. And, you know, he'd know that how difficult it is to play in the cold. But again, they're in Arrowhead. And that is the biggest advantage in terms of environment that you could have. I don't care if what happens. And by the way, it's not supposed to be snowy. It's just supposed to be cold. And, I mean, they're used to playing in the cold.
I just half of me wishes the game was here with all that snow that's supposed to show up.
Are you kidding me? Everyone
Sunday.
Wishes the game
yeah,
was here.
Yeah, if the game was here, they'd win. Oh, if the game was here, they'd be a favorite.
No, just weather-wise, of course they'd be favorite. I just, like, they'd be talking about, oh, my God, can Kansas City's high-powered offense handle a blizzard or whatever the heck we're getting on Sunday?
And you know what's coming.
And you know what? No.
Probably not.
No. Then the Patriots are huge favorites. Yeah. But, I mean, I find it very difficult to believe that Mahomes and Tyreek, like especially Tyreek Hill, because Ninkovich made the point Tyreek Hill is going to have trouble cutting and he's going to be slowed down. Well, if he has trouble cutting and he's being slowed down, who the hell is going to be fast?
I know. I think it's just he's saying it takes away the speed, so it's more of a grinded out type of
okay,
running
but my
game.
Point is that if everyone's level is the same,
if
Tyreek Hill is still going to be the fastest guy
out
there.
Everyone doesn't level off and he'll go down. Everyone goes down. That's Fred's point.
Right.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting. I'm very much looking forward to the
game. Oh, this whole weekend's going to be great. Or both games, rather.
I have trouble caring about the NFC, to be honest with you.
No, see, I'm looking forward to that game a lot.
Yeah.
But then again, dude,
you've got Aqib Talib and you've got Marcus Peters running trash.
They played each other a lot.
Sean Payton? Dude, just get a rule.
Well, I got to coach a basketball team at 4 o'clock on Sunday because that's when they put our practices, and I'm even friends with the guy who runs the league. 4 o'clock on Sunday.
Oh, what is he doing?
I didn't coach last Sunday because of the Patriots. But I mean, 4 o'clock on Sundays.
Yeah, that's uncalled for. There's no reason for that.
And they know what I do for a living.
Yeah, there's no reason for that. No reason for that. That's not right.
So I'm gonna miss a chunk of that thing. Yep. I'm gonna miss an hour of that game because I can't keep not coaching.
Mm-hmm. So just sent me a picture of Andy Reid dancing around. It says, when you realize you're just 2 wins away from a fast food buffet at the White House.
That's an excellent point.
Many, many French fries.
Many, many French fries.
Pizzas, we have 300 hamburgers.
Burgers? Do you think Andy Reid, if they win the Super Bowl, goes like, hey, tell Trump it was all right what he did with Clemson. Or he goes, you know what? We're not coming unless he puts that on the table.
Yeah.
Enjoy your food.
We're not coming. You know what? I was not going to go, but then...
then I saw the...
many, many French fries.
Tell me how many, many is.
many.
Somewhere the line... the offensive line coach, ex-offensive line coach from Cleveland's got a single tear running down his face.
Would you please pick me up for the end of the season?
No.
All right. We'll be back with the stack, and then we're going to talk to Jake DeBrusk. What are we going to talk about, Reg?
Oh, in the stack? Oh, I'm sure great things.
All right. We'll find out about all of them in just a moment.
Nice job, sir. Good win. Good game. Yeah, nice job. All right. Congratulations, man. That's a good week of preparation. Played a lot of good football. Just keep doing what we're doing, okay? Keep getting better each week and expect the competition to get better this week, all right? That's the way it is this time of year. All right? Great job today, man. Great job. Give them credit. That's a good football team you beat, all right? And they battled us all the way. That's a good football team. But you were the better ones today, and you deserve it. All right, that's why we're moving on.
Hell yeah.
All right, congratulations, man.
How do we feel about beating the L.A. Chargers?
Oh, yes! Not now. Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
How do we feel?
No, seriously, how do you feel? Let me put some electrons in your brain.
For such an epic win, that was by levels of what Slater's done in the past, a phone it in cheer at the
end. I think it's like, you know, we have business yet to do. We have there's unfinished business.
I just think it was because it ended so boring. Like, I you knew that they had won by halftime, and I think most of us in the fourth quarter is like, because I mean, I think around the division series, he's had stuff like this. Like,
how do we feel about tasting the sweet nectar of victory?
You see, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear about the sweet nectar of victory.
Yeah, plenty of time to think this up, too.
Do you think he's actually, like, wants to know how does it feel? Because he's so devoid of emotion. He's so logical. He's like Spock.
He always thinks
no,
logically.
Seriously, how does it feel?
Somebody let me know.
Allergies start acting up a little bit.
What are those?
Seasonal allergies.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I could listen to this on loop.
How do we feel about tasting the sweet nectar of victory?
Raise your goblet of mead. Cheers.
He's such a nerd.
That's something you say after you storm the castle at Boston Common that doesn't exist when you're with your friends LARPing.
Could you imagine, like, if you were in high school and someone said, how do you feel about the sweet nectar of victory? Well, I felt good about it until you said that.
That's an SNL skit.
Yeah.
The football team wins a big thing. All right, Jeff, take it away.
And they let the, like, scorekeeper, like, come in. And
I was like, all right, dude. I appreciate it.
It's like Battlestar Galactica.
Well, we've been talking all morning about Adam Gase, who, of course, is the newest coach of the New York Jets. And if you saw the front page of the sports section of the New York Post, it's got his crazy eyes sitting there wide open, and it says Vision Quest, which I think is a fantastic headline. But that wasn't the only weird thing that was going on in the NFL as far as new coaches was concerned. We know that, of course, the Cleveland Browns picked someone that I don't think many people expected, Freddie Kitchens. He is the brand new coach, 44 years old. He's Cleveland's 17th full-time coach. And all of a sudden, he kind of shot up the ranks. He was the running backs coach at one point, like last year.
He was the running backs coach. He was promoted to offensive coordinator midway through the season. And as soon as he was promoted to offensive coordinator, Baker Mayfield went off.
All right.
And then he fired me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, boo.
All right. You see, I miss him. He's got it. We have his number.
Oh, we do have his number.
That's right.
Should we reach out to him and have him on tomorrow?
I think that you know the answer to that.
Okay. All right. Bob Wiley. We have Bob Wiley's phone number.
Yeah, we're going to get him on tomorrow. Try to get him on tomorrow.
Okay, we'll try to. Under
the guise of breaking down the game.
What are we going to ask him about?
What he had for breakfast.
He's funny. What would you think of showing up at the White House and seeing that?
I mean, like, he's funny.
Oh, he is. He's a personality without a doubt. He's apparently an amateur magician.
Yeah, we can ask him about magic. Like, how can you make your shoes disappear?
All right, we got to get him on.
Yeah.
We have to have Bob Wiley on tomorrow. But in the meantime, they have a new head coach. His name's Freddie Kitchens. He's a little weird.
You know, the letter I is a letter. It's not a word. And when it's used as a word, you've got problems. So that's the number one thing that you won't ever hear. All right? It's we, us, our, because we're all going to take ownership in this thing. And you know what? It's going to make it that much more special when we get to the top. All right? Two is one and one is none. And we're going to have a lot of twos. We're all going to be together.
Yeah, coach.
5, 15, 75.
I love it. Numbers, numbers, numbers. 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, 44.
Numbers.
I love numbers. And I see what you're getting at. I look with your eye and see that.
Everyone's going, should have gotten McCarthy. there's two teams right now.
We really overthought this thing, didn't we?
In all seriousness,
this is not the guy from the Rams. He is so not Sean McVay.
Yeah. And by the way, like, even like taking it at it as it really is that wow? There's no I in team. Okay, dude.
But then he just like went on and built on it and had to throw you more
numbers.
I mean, that was a little strange.
Yeah. Maybe he's going to bring in Ray Lewis as some kind of coordinator.
Remember 5 and remember 7, because they're going to have a recurring attitude in my message.
A recurring attitude.
An attitude. It's going to be a very angry number.
It's going to be like eight all sexy hourglass.
And how about the Packers? This is another team that's making all sorts of choices. If you were to say, all right, you know what? We need the offensive coordinator from any team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Who's the last team you're picking?
A team that wasn't able to develop their first-round quarterback?
The Jaguars.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they said, you know what, Nathaniel Hackett, you are perfect to hang out here and work with Aaron Rodgers. Now, if you're him, you're like, whoa, I just went from Blake Bortles to Aaron Rodgers. But if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're like, what the hell?
Well, it's not like, the thing is, it's not like Aaron Rodgers is going to listen to him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. He's already made up his mind of what he's going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers working with the coach, he doesn't seem to have a similar attitude to Brady's. He seems to be kind of someone who doesn't take well with direction.
So bringing in LaFleur from the Titans already was a little bit of a head-scratcher, and now you're getting an offensive coordinator for an offense that was just a laughingstock of the NFL. Maybe it's Blake Bortles. Maybe it's just that the offense was bad, and I would think it's mostly because it's Blake Bortles, but you couldn't develop him.
No.
You couldn't turn him into anything.
No, he's the number one overall pick, and you couldn't do anything
with him. Oh, man. I mean, just now, they're one of the few teams that can't say, should have gotten McCarthy. But, I mean, anyone. Maybe they should have gotten Captain Scallycap or Cool Guy Kangle, who ended up going down.
Cool Guy Kangle.
You know, ended up going down to Tampa Bay.
Arians is 66. Yeah. Just, who needs the hassle anymore?
I mean, he's a good coach.
Yeah, but he had a TV. No, I didn't.
Why did Parcells come back at time and time again? It's just an itch. You can't scratch. Dream in life was to go work for Jerry Jones? No, he had an opportunity. Those head coaches, man, they have to do this.
But at least Parcells, had when he was in Miami, he didn't really have to do anything.
No, he didn't, but he couldn't stay away from it. They have to be around it. Arians said during the season the only job he would ever come back for is the Cleveland Browns. He said that more than once. And you know what? Tampa Bay popped open. He said, well, you know what? Here's a chance. I'm going to go somewhere warm.
I don't know. All Parcells wanted to do is go to Saratoga with Mike Francesa.
Right.
I don't know why they did it. And I know there's a lot of Cardinals fans who are ticked off that they didn't bring back Captain Cool Guy Kangle.
Why did they fire their coach? I mean, how could Arizona...
You give him 1 year.
Yeah, that wasn't fair.
Well, if you want to talk about giving 3 points for a home team, which is generally what happened, but nonetheless, if you want to talk about... Give a coach 3 years unless everything completely explodes.
You give him 1 year and a rookie quarterback and no help around him.
Right, so
fire him? I mean...
No.
Well, it's a stupidly run organization in the entire league.
I mean...
Now that Cleveland's out of the basement.
What did you expect him to do? I mean, what did you want the guy to do?
Yeah.
He'd never been a head coach before, so he's getting used to that. You throw some quarterback at him that who knows? I mean, who knows if Rosen's going to be any good?
And then
good?
You double down on stupidity by hiring a guy who got fired as a sub-500 coach at the college level.
I mean, Rosen is the biggest wild card out of any of those first-round quarterbacks. I mean, you saw Mayfield play well. That's going to go away. You saw Lamar Jackson play fairly well. You saw the promise in Sam Darnold. Rosen's the only one that didn't do anything.
Right.
Ray Lewis tweeting in with a joke. He says, why is 6 afraid of 7? Because 7 murdered 8 and 9 got away with it.
Super Bowl Atlanta, I'm coming down.
7-5.
Super Bowl Atlanta. I don't know. Someone spilled. I got sprayed by a skunk. Someone put tomato sauce all over me.
Numbers.
I don't know. I got tomato soup all over me. These Atlanta skunks, they're crazy.
Yeah, they are. They're everywhere.
OPU.
I know. They stink. They're not very fragrant.
No, you got to use tomato sauce.
Matt, go ahead.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up?
I'm really excited for the next game coming up and everything, but I want to talk about that video that the Patriots just released on their Twitter page. It's kind of a big deal. It's kind of funny. I mean, I find it weird that Tom Brady would release kind of like this narrative about them being underdogs, and you kind of look at it, them going up against the Chiefs. I mean, I guess the last game they had, you can kind of see that they would be the underdogs, but I would like to say that, you know, is there a question on this narrative that trying to release? Is it going to be something that they're looking at you know, is it something to hype the fans? Is it something to hype the league, to build their brand around the league? Or is it just something that Tom Brady and the team generally feel that they're going to be entering this game as the underdogs?
Well, they are the underdog. I mean, Vegas has them as the underdog.
I mean, they're an underdog in that game, and they should be.
And they're the underdog as far as the remaining four teams, if you take a look at what the stats and percentages
are. They sucked on the road, and it's very hard to play. And they're playing against a team with a better record that hung with them at Gillette. So, but yeah, I mean, if they release something on their Twitter page, it's obviously to galvanize the fan base.
That's that thing I played.
Yeah,
it's
no,
the one that,
I know.
Yeah, with Kellerman.
No, that's what I'm saying, yeah. Is that, yeah, if they release something, and all I say is, just you might as well hand Kellerman an envelope full of money.
Yep.
Because if you think that he's going to feel bad about himself because he got something wrong, you have no idea what goes on in this business. He's received attention. How long has he been saying Brady sucks?
Oh, off a cliff was maybe 4 years ago?
No, it was more recent than that.
No, because think about it. When was the year that they're not good anymore? When was the Kansas City game? Because it was right around the same time that you had Dilfer coming out and saying that they're not good anymore, the dynasty was over, and they went on to win the Super Bowl that year. That was the Kansas City. How many years ago did they play Kansas City? Four? Was that 4 years ago they played them? But that's that Kellerman. He's going to fall off a cliff, and it's, that was, I believe, he's been doing that. That's his greatest hit. That is Freebird. That's Skinner showing up and playing Freebird over and over again. It's Kellerman. Hey, how bad is Tom Brady? Well, he doesn't quite suck right now, but he's going to suck soon.
I'm looking at something that says July 28th, 2016.
Okay, well, there's
regardless.
I think it's older than that.
Whatever. Who cares? The point is that a guy who went from doing public access, boxing show, has now gathered the attention of the New England Patriots. And they've essentially sent out a demo reel for him in free advertising. So good for them. And good for Max Kellerman. We will be back. What are the chances we get DeBrusque?
Probably pretty good.
40%.
All right, you're going 40. I'm going to go 60%.
Okay.
All right, we'll find out all about that. Here are the headlines.
Kutcher and Rich.
Right circle, Domi cuts to the high slot, shoots Rask in and out of his glove. They score! Whacked out of midair by Jeff Petrie. He swung that left-handed and drilled it in. And the Canadians, 15 seconds into overtime, win it 3-2 over the Boston Bruins.
Dan Petrie, very exciting, the son of Mr. Oh, my God.
Jeff Petrie.
Dan Petrie, son of Dan Petrie, who rocked the stash. Wait, Petrie was on the Tigers in 84.
Yep.
So he must have had his son later in life.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah.
He must have been like 40. Dan Petrie, I don't think, was any spring chicken. But back in the day, everyone was just around the charisma of Dave Rosemont.
Well, who isn't?
I told you my friend did a documentary about this Lindell Athletic Club where all the players hung out.
Yeah.
And he had Dave Rosema as one of the guys, and Rosema just sat there cracking beers and chugging them.
Jeff Petrie, 31 years old.
Okay. It's the second annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Floating Hospital Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. Patrice Bergeron and our show bring you Pucks and Paddles Thursday, February 7th at the Royale Boston. Bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player. Our show, Rich and I, John Wallach, Mark Bertrand, and others, VIP tickets are $200. And that gives you access to the autograph session with the team. General admission tickets are $50. For more information to buy tickets, go to 98.5thesportshub.com. Jake DeBrusque, after the whole thing was, after he was eliminated from the actual tournament, actually volleyed with my son.
Oh, nice.
That was very nice. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was last year, correct?
Yes, that was very nice of you.
No worries at all.
Yeah, I think you're closer in age to him than I am to you. So that's a little...
Yeah.
That's a little... In fact, I think that absolutely is correct. All right.
How far did you get in that tournament, Jake? How many rounds in did you get?
I got to the second round, actually. I beat Timmy, which I was really proud. Timmy Schnaller, I was proud about that. And then I think I lost to Pat, I believe, actually, the champs. So, at least we went out to the best team there.
No shame in that.
Yeah, there's no shame in that.
No shame in losing to Pasta.
Yeah.
As did I. in the Final Four.
Oh, boy. The lady that I was with, the young lady and I, lost. I don't believe we won a point. not a big ping pong guy. Used to the JCC pool where you got to take in the wind into consideration. It's outside.
All right. So how was the? Let's talk about that fight last night. First of all, how you feeling this morning? You know, if you're done with something like that, after the adrenaline wears off, what's hurting?
Yeah, I feel decent actually today. Obviously, not the result that we wanted, but I wouldn't even consider that a fight, to be honest. I think it was just more so a scrum, but I think we did see a real one when Millsy and DeLorean went at it. That was pretty cool, and obviously two and Weitz went at it, so that got the adrenaline going itself. I feel all right today. So just moving on to the next game.
Yeah, Miller got a top 10 on ESPN for that fight, so you might want to get on that. Get yourself a little publicity. All right. All right, so after the game, Cassidy said that you were not playing to the standard we expect out of him, referring to you. What was he talking about? What specifically did he talk to you after the game, and what specifically did he mean?
I think what he means is just that, you know, they expect a lot more out of me than what I've been kind of giving them as of late. And obviously haven't actually seen what he's really said, but kind of heard about it a bit. And I think just the message there is just that I need to be better and I need to help out the team. And I understand it. I feel it more than anyone else. I'm obviously frustrated with how things are going as of late, and I've been dying to get in the show because I know I need to get a goal or two here. So, it's one of those things where it's just a matter of bearing down and bringing my A game.
The actual quote was, the standard we expect out of him, I don't think has been there enough lately, period. He's been told that. We want him to play his way out of it. When you're do you find it tough to press, like when you go through a situation like this where maybe you've had a little bit of a slump? How tough is it to try too hard when you're at a place like this?
I think that's actually a good point. Sometimes you try to do too much or force things more than usual and start gripping the stick and different things. And I've already kind of dealt with a little bit of a slump this year, so I think that's actually helped me when it comes to, I guess, now. I think it's more so a matter of just playing my game, playing a certain style that, has gotten me to this point, that's gotten me to the NHL, and just doing that consistently. I think that, it's basically off of my effort, and I think that was also lacking a little bit as well, and that's only stuff that I can control. So it's just a matter of channeling that and bringing that extra element.
Do you find that Cassidy only says stuff about players publicly after he has already spoken with you privately about it?
I'm not sure how to answer that, to be honest.
No, because he didn't talk to you yesterday, you just said.
But he said he's been told that. So Cassidy obviously has come up to you and said, we need you to play better than you have been as of late, instead of hearing it the first time from Cassidy, or like in the press.
Yes, that is true. I've heard pretty much what he's been saying, yes.
All right, when are you going to get in a real fight?
Did your dad call and critique you afterwards?
No, I actually have not talked to my dad since the game, so I'll probably call him. We're going to Philly today, so I'll probably call him on the way there and hear what he has to say. He's not necessarily a critic in a sense. He's more so he understands who I am and what I am as a player, so it's just kind of not nitpicks in a way, but finds little things here and there that can help my game, in a sense. And I'm sure I'll probably have some video today, and I'll be seeing what's going on very clearly.
So even after a fight like that, you don't get like a text like, hey, man, you okay?
No, because it wasn't really a fight. I don't even think that tally on the play. It would be kind of funny, though. Don't mean the breath going at it in 2019. But,
that's right. Sure, if you Google that right now, you're going to get a really strange video.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the thing that was kind of funny. I was thinking, what happened was, obviously don't mean the breath, but what happened was, I think there was like the scrum of guys, and I don't even remember punching and throwing. It just was kind of a mosh pit in a way, if that makes any sense. So kind of unfortunate, but Max is a pretty tough guy, so that was a good fight.
Okay.
That was a handful.
There was a video that came out, I think it was last week, and the Behind the Bee people had made a compilation of all the best on-ice trash talk. And honestly, I mean, as you, I'm sure, know better than anybody, the star of it was Brad Marchand. He has a true gift on driving people crazy and saying just the right things that get, you know, really piss them off. From your time around Marchand, have you ever been on the other end of his ball busting?
Never. No, I don't recall any times. Actually, this is a little curfew again. But that's like during games. It's a different element for him. I think when he kind of, the puck drops and, you know, he's kind of chirping a guy or something like that. It's different than around the locker room. And, you know, he's really fun. When you get to see those Behind the Bees, I think that's one of the best things about the show is that you get to see those kind of altercations and interactions.
Who's the grossest guy on the team?
Grossest? Grossest guy on the team? I'm not sure. I don't know if I should ask.
Oh, come on. What are they going to, what do they care?
Every team has one guy that's just like
every
filthy.
Everybody on a hockey team, yeah. Except for like Phaneuf.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to answer that right now. I'm kind of not in the good books with some people, so I got to keep that
straight. Right. He okay. Just got called out by your
You don't have to be, well, it's Cassidy. He's disgusting. He doesn't pay it. Now, no, but you don't have to name names, but is there someone that people are like, oh, God, all right, stay away?
I'd probably have to say, I guess if I had to answer that, not really, no, but I'd probably say Chris Wagner. That's just kind of the reaction I get from him. I don't know, just something about him just throws me off here and there.
I notice how he picked a guy that's like beneath him.
Fourth line wing.
He's probably like my stallmate in the room, so I get to see him every morning. He probably feels the same way about me.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
All right, well.
Good local kid, right?
So. Sure. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right, Jake DeBrusk, hopefully you can get off the Schneid, and the next thing that we hear from Cassidy is just nothing but praise. We appreciate the time, and have fun this week.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, hey, see you, man.
Thank you. I just realized that he was the guy that was playing ping pong with my son.
Oh yeah, DeBrusk, yeah.
Because back then, last year, it was kind of like everyone molded together. That wasn't, you know, back as a first or second line guy.
Right, sure.
Right. So it just kind of all molded together.
That, I mean, it is such a cool event, I mean, for that kind of stuff. First of all, it's entertaining. I mean, you get to see these guys, and it's so well run where you have up on the big screen the bracket, and you get to watch these people go down to the end. Yeah. And it by the end, these guys are just, like, humming fastballs at each other. I mean, hitting it hard.
Pasternak won the event, and then who played one-on-one at the end? It was Krejci against...
Spooner? There was one random guy who was really good.
I remember Spooner came into the event thinking that he was the best, and then I think Krejci beat him.
I missed all that because I was in the back drinking with beers.
Nice.
So
you mean the NHL guy let you back there? NHL security?
That guy with the strong hand. Yeah.
I said, idiot, I'm out there with a microphone. What do you think? I just walked in?
Our name's on the event.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm like, no, but not even that. I've just been out there all day. What do you think I'm doing? What do you think, I'm going in there for autographs? I want beer. And it's in there.
Beer with beers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. All right, we'll find out what's going on with Zolak. I guess there is a newcomer coming in to steal the show.
Oh, hey.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
All right.
.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Zolak and Bertrand coming in.
This is going to be fun. I have gotten a big market tease from Scott Zolak, as is Fred over the commercial break, as to why this Zolak and Bertrand show is going to be special.
Yes. It's going to be fun.
Man,
what? I, And Jim knows it better than anybody. Jim's like, jackpot freaking day for you, pal. I'm like, what are you talking about?
It's true.
Miserable Tuesday. Everybody, because everybody goes back to work on Tuesday. Sometimes people take extended weekend, maybe to go skiing, and traffic's just a bitch getting in. So, yeah, get in late. But Jim's like, Hardy's kid's sick. So Hardy won't be in today. So there's some new headline guy that's filling in for Hardy, and it's new intern day.
So you have so it's a new intern, and we have a headline person that none of us in this room
have ever worked with.
I don't even know. I don't even know what they look like. What's it?
What's his name?
O'Brien.
New headline.
It's
Billy O'Brien. No,
it's something. Oh,
no. No one knows. No one knows.
His name's O'Brien. Know.
Yeah,
he's an Irish kid. I mean, right?
How novel.
Well, I mean, if you're, right? Is it like, is he, now that name's Murphy or the Joneses, like Shaughnessy with, you know, the old guy quartet that sings, what was that, Mitch Miller Band?
Yeah, I don't know.
Mitch and the Gang.
All I know
one,
is that...
Yeah, sing along with Mitch. This one goes out to the Joneses and the Murphys. The Irish people.
All I know is that you seem to make things very comfortable for new people in the studio.
Well, I just don't... I told him, don't mess your headline up. I'm going to be all over it.
Yeah, this guy's going to crab himself.
You know, you remember McCone? First day he worked with us, his head was sweating, his hands were shaking.
Well, you know how they write
He's just so electric to begin with. You know, Tarita from Providence.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.